Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, thanks so much for joining me this week. And I hope every week that you tune into the show, that you feel my passion, of course, for helping you navigate change, whatever that means to you. And I know it can be off-putting. And I hope between my guests and myself that we share some tips and ideas and strategies that you can implement immediately. That's how we move change, and it makes it a little bit easier. Additionally, to help you navigate change and to shift your mindset, I have a free gift. Go to changingthesalesgame.com/communication-style-assessment. I will put it in the show notes. No worries. It's my free gift to you to identify your natural communication strengths as well as your blind spots. Blind spots, kind of important because that's where we can really shine some light, dig in, and make pivotal changes in our life. So as always, thanks for joining us today. Now, my motivational quote is by Johannes Salamu, and he says, "Find your natural rhythm and harmonize with it." You know, as I reflect on my life, my career, and obviously my business, my Italian upbringing definitely influenced how I have, and I think to some extent, probably still do, approach my professional journey. Now, for me, the concept of hard work is at the core. In the past, in the past decade, I've realized that hard work alone just doesn't guarantee a positive outcome or the outcome that I'm seeking. And I think with COVID and everything that's gone on in the past couple of years, I feel like the more I push forward with that determination, hard work, that effort, when things aren't going well, again, COVID, I think the bad situation has sometimes gotten worse. And I know, and I choose personally to keep just learning and growing, and I am still figuring out how to use, and I love the universal laws, quantum physics, energy, and all the things that are really, paramount and visible in our world today. Now, this is an important topic, and I'm super excited to introduce my guest, Christy Whitman. No, there's no relation, although I think we're sisters from another mother after chatting. And Christy is going to help us break down 7 steps to manifest any desire. Now, Christy is the channel for the Council, spiritual mentors here to spread the message of quantum energy mastery. And Christy and the Council teach classes, meditation, and provide private sessions to help clients feel more aligned with their divine design of well-being, abundant success, and loving and supportive relationships. For over 15 years and before channeling the Council, Christy was a transformational leader, celebrity coach, and law of attraction expert, as well as a 2-time New York Times bestselling author of, by these books, The Art of Having It All and Taming Your Alpha Bitch. Love it. Christy has appeared on the Today Show, The Morning Show, TEDx, and the Hallmark Channel, which I have to ask you about. And her work has been featured in the media and various publications. She's been featured in Goldcast, People's Magazine, 17, Women's Day, Hollywood Life, Teen Vogue, and that's just to name a few. So please help me welcome my wonderful new friend, Christy, to the show. So Christy, thanks for being on.
Hello, Miss Whitman.
Hello, Miss Whitman.
Hello. How are you?
I'm really good. I love it. I'm so excited for our conversation today.
Me too. I was thinking of all these different things as you were talking about manifestation and quantum. And I'm like, ooh, where do we go? And ooh, that whole push against, and you know, how people were taught. I mean, I watched my dad, total workaholic. Mm-hmm. He owned his own business. He was a mechanical engineer. He worked 6 days a week. He busted his butt. I mean, he showed me what hard work was. Yeah. And he was there the earliest. He, you know, even when he had to work for different corporations for a little bit in tough times and let go of his business for a while, he was the first one there and the last one to leave. I mean, he knew hard work. But my dad also thinks that the universe, the world, God is against him, and that if he has any type of success, he's going to be punished for that. He's, it's very sad. He would have all over his office, you know, Murphy's Law. He full on believed in Murphy's Law. And there's not just one, there's several of them, which I learned from my father. I talk about universal laws, right? How to create what you want. And he was like, well, you know, of course that's going to go wrong because things always do break. I mean, there is just a perspective, and it's not like as he's gotten older, I remember him always being like that. As a kid, my first job was with my dad and I answer phones with him, and, you know, brilliant man. And yet he literally had these all over and he was so negative. Well, I know I'm going to give it to him. They're going to probably come back with changes and they're not going to pay me. I watched my dad have that perspective.
Yeah.
So, because what if we work really, really, really hard like my dad did? Now, my dad was successful. He provided. He also, though, and here's like, we all get these moments to take a creation, to take a desire and to run with it and expand with it and to create whatever we want with it, joy, wealth, success, whatever it is. My dad was one of the first people that got an Apple computer in the 70s and learned how to program it.
Wow.
He could have been a Bill Gates or, you know, someone like that. But the whole thing of him and this idea and that mathematical way of programming, this was his opportunity. His negative mindset looked at everything that possibly could go wrong. And why would anybody want that? Who'd pay for this? He had programmed the first CAD system, literally.
AutoCAD.
Yeah, he had to learn how to do that and program it. He was one of the first that did that. So, I mean, he had so many different opportunities with technology, but those opportunities, they just fizzle and die away because you don't open up your energy field to them. Yeah. So hard work alone does not guarantee success.
Yeah, it's so funny. We have so many, I feel like we've lived parallel lives. My dad too was an engineer and brilliant man, a little bit different. He had more of I wouldn't say he was positive or negative. He just kind of felt that what you put out, you're going to get positive or negatively. So he kind of lived his life. Like he would tell us, Christy, when we were young,
law of attraction.
Yeah.
Understanding that what you give out, you get back.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't think he knew it was law of attraction, right? Back in their day, they didn't understand. Well, these laws weren't available like they are now because of social media and just where we are in the world. But it was interesting. I remember when we were little, I'd come home and I'd complain about somebody at school and he would say, you know, it's just as easy to find good qualities in that person. Like, why don't you find the common ground instead of just looking at the irritant of that person? Because you look hard enough, everybody has flaws. And that has served me well through my life. And I guess it's a little bit of that law of attraction. So maybe as a child, I was exposed to it to some extent. The other thing, my dad too worked for companies and then had his own engineering firm. And the man worked all the time. And so that work ethic, like I alluded to in my intro, it's definitely a learned behavior. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing, because when we get our nose to the grindstone, and this is what we're going to talk about today, we put the nose to the grindstone, you're looking down, you're working hard, you're never looking up for the new opportunities, right?
Yes. Yes. And just the fact that when you're working so hard and then it starts to feel like there's working hard and then there's working with that feeling of it's hard, right? It's like when I'm invested in something, like when I'm writing a book and the book is coming through me, and even just like this week, I've had a hardworking week, meaning it was full. I put the fullness of myself into everything I did, whether it was an interview or it was a class I taught or it was a session with the council, and whether it's with my kids and being a parent or being with my husband, the fullness of me showed up in every aspect of my life this week. And it was full, right? That didn't feel like hard work or working hard. It's that energy. It's always the energy. It's that energy of, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just exhausted. I can't go on. It's very victim-y. It's, you know, it's like, oh, I can't ever do enough. I'll never have enough time. I'll never be good enough. It's the exhaustion and feeling that depletion of energy, because we can be on all full cylinders, you know, really just like creating and doing and moving forward with so many different things, but those things don't have to deplete our energy when we understand that we are energy And like your dad was saying, right? It's like you get back what you send out. And this isn't, I mean, that was in the Bible. It's a golden rule, right? Jesus Christ himself talked about the law of attraction, but he didn't say this is law of attraction. But it's like have this faith of the size of a mustard seed. That's an understanding of law of attraction because it's where are you putting your focus? Yeah. Your faith is your focus. And, you know, when you put it even just a little bit, if your attention just a little minute bit goes to that, it totally shifts the perspective for everything because it's energy. And so, you know, this energetic or what people have known, and it's awesome that your dad used to talk to you about that. He was giving you the felt sense before the you know, logical, because a lot of people might understand it logically, but they don't understand it from a, how am I living this? Right. They may be like, oh, you know, I'm going to use my vision board to visualize what I want, but then they're, you know, yelling at their kids.
Exactly. Right?
It's a split in energy. It's how are you, what is your containment in your own body? First of all, you know, are you speaking nicely to your body? Are you loving your body? Are you treating your body well? Are you abusing your body? You know, what are you doing? What are the thoughts that you, how do you speak about your body? You know, and all of that, that comes from really giving yourself. I had a mentor years ago that would say, give from the saucer, not the cup. And that has been so true in the shifting of me, instead of being hardworking and exhausting myself, to literally understanding how I am an energy receiver. We're receiving in energy all the time. Sometimes we're receiving in from negative people, people at the grocery store, the news, social media. It could be our husbands or wives or kids. You know, we're receiving in that energy of what's going on with them because they're all in their own vibration, their own hooked up connection. We're all kind of bumping into each other here. You know, it's like we're all hooked up to the life force and we do affect each other. But when you can understand what's really breathing you, what you're hooked up to, it's infinite. It's energy. It's, you could just ask, I want to be filled up with, you know, the energy of success right now, or the feeling of joy right now, or I just want to feel the vitality, or I want to feel energized. And you feel that, you don't need to go get anything else. I remember I stopped, I was a coffee drinker, like nobody's business. And I would go and get at least two or three, take trips to the grocery store at least twice a day, sometimes three for a coffee. Because I was always had this story in my head. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired, you know? And so this constant, when I would tune into myself, I'm like, wow, I'm always saying that to myself. Right. And I would stop saying that to myself, saying I am filled up and I'm energized. So one day I was driving to the store, totally, you know, back in my own habitual patterns, go get coffee, must get energized. And I'm walking in and I heard myself say, I am so exhausted. And I went, I just flipped it immediately. I am so energized. And I just felt this connection, letting in and opening up to that feeling, that essence of feeling energized. And I almost walked into the front of the store and I just turned myself around and got back in my car. Cause I'm like, I don't need that.
That's awesome.
I'm energized. Yeah. So we all have that ability, and understanding that we're energy, you know, that's where the ease of stuff comes in. Cause instead of having to do 10 things to see if one thing works, you're connected to this guidance that just shows you the one thing and the one path, or there might be a fork in the road where there's maybe a decision to make. And you're like, I don't know how to make this decision. I don't have clarity. I don't know what I want to do. You know, when you bring in that energy, bring in that higher consciousness, you just have that natural flow, that wisdom of where to go.
I have a question for you. You know, I love this topic, obviously, about 20 years ago. And I tease all the time that, you know, Natalie Ledwell.
I do. She's a dear friend of mine.
I adore her. And she was the first email popped in my inbox. I didn't even know what law of attraction was. the definition of it or law of attraction, the universal laws, never heard of it. And somehow, some way, right? I was the learner. She was the teacher. I was ready to learn from her. And I swear to God, she changed my life. And I bought every program. She was on my show a couple of years ago. I'll make you laugh, Christy. I went to her, just give me a minute before we record. She goes, okay, what's wrong with you? And I go, I'm starstruck.
Oh. That's so sweet.
Because she changed my life. Her approach with her Australian accent, but her approach was so clear to me. So here's a question.
I love that. She's such a great teacher.
I tell you, I love her. I love her message.
She's so real.
She's the real deal. And, you know, I started sharing her with everybody. You got to follow this girl, because she was clear in how she shared and gave action steps and her inspirational channel that she
created. I've been on her show many times.
Oh my God. Yeah. I wanted to be on her show, Christy, but then she stopped doing it. She went into other adventures in her life, but I adore her. But here's the thing. And maybe this is a question or something that you see, because you play in this world, you help clients in this world, and you teach group classes and all of this stuff. You keep saying the energy and ease and all of that, those things. I believe, right? And I have seen it in my own life, and I have manifested and I've created hardship in my life. And I know I'm at the core of the problem or the solution. Why do some people seem to just easily go into that energetic flow, and while others seem, it's just always a struggle? Is there a mindset that you see? Is there some habits that we can outline for the listeners so that they think, which camp do I fall in? And then I think we can move from there as to how to change their energetic flow. Did that just make sense?
100%. Okay. Yes. Because I used to be, my story is, I used to be in the mindset of what I now call lack. Lack, let me describe it to you. Some would say hell. It's set, you feel separated from, you feel like you don't have the things that you want. You feel like there's not enough time. It's where shortage comes from. It's where victim consciousness is. It's the poor me. Nothing ever works for me. Nothing. I do everything and I get nothing. I'm struggling. I'm suffering. It's hell. And we all have those moments, because 100%. From lack, that's where all of the negative emotions come from. If someone is feeling worried, and not just, I'm concerned about that. Not that kind of worry. I'm talking about constantly focusing on something with the energy of worry. That's the Italian background I came from. My grandma was the best worry wart in the world. If it wasn't, let me worry there. And she had five grandkids, three kids. So she's worried. The energy she spat out was worry and fear, and gave that. My mom was in that, gave that to me, until one day I realized, I'm like, worry is useless. It's a vibration that creates more things to worry about. Right? But people live their lives. I used to live my life in vibrational connection with anger, but wasn't mad at this person. I was mad at this situation. I was mad at God. I was mad at that pastime. I was mad at that old boyfriend. I was angry, just vibrating anger, and anything could set me off from a place of being angry. It was like, I would explode, temper tantrum, whole thing. I mean, very mature, but I was in my own hell. And this was one of the clues that I wanted to change something in my life, because over here on the other side is where I live now. And I used to live over here with like a moment of joy, a moment of fun, yes. Had moments of it, but this is where I lived. Now I live over here, which is the world of abundance, which is the world of being connected to light and understanding how to master my own energy, understanding that contrast sometimes pulls me out. There's something that my child would do, and now I got to do the parenting thing and the hassle of blah, blah, whatever. So, that can pull me out, but I have the tools and I have the, processes. I have the connection. I have the intuition to get to know myself enough to feel when I'm feeling off. And then I know what to do about it. Over here, I had no idea that I was in hell. over here, I can know, ooh, I'm going back into hell and I don't want to go there. It's a consciousness. It's an awareness. It's the willingness to know yourself. I was so much in, I don't want to live like this.
Yeah.
What else is there? And that's when I met my meditation teacher that taught me that, and this is almost 28 years ago, before the internet, all this stuff. I sat in her house and she looked me in the eyes and she said, you create your own reality. And I went, I do. Like, it was like something freed in me.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you're getting a massage and you feel yes. the tensing up and then all of a sudden you just like let your body go. You let
surrender.
Surrender. That's one of the principles in the desire factor is the principle of surrender. It, that feeling of surrendering in that moment, I went, wow, I'm not that, but I'm creating that. Because when she said, you create your own reality. And I went, how? Well, she started with thoughts because thoughts are part of our consciousness. What I teach now with the council is that our consciousness is made up of five things. When you really think about it, it's what we say. Now that's how what you give out comes back.
Yep.
What you say, the words you say, the thoughts you think, the beliefs that you hold, the perspective, your expectations, right? All that, your emotions, your feelings, and then the actions that you take. Let's go back to the example about the person that is in constant worry mode. Their consciousness, which creates their reality, is focused on worry, constant worry. It's a low level vibration. And that worry will bring situations, circumstances, events, more things that match it into that person's life because it's like they're drawing it into them by the worry energy that they're giving out.
Yes.
But if they're flipping, if they don't want to worry anymore, they want to feel confident. They want to feel in the place of faith or trust, you know, whatever that opposing energy is. I don't want to be angry anymore. I want to be in joy, right? It's like, what is that contrast bringing up so that you can understand what, you know, I'm constantly, for me, I was constantly judging and criticizing myself. So now when I judge myself, I stop and then I bring in that energy of compassion. And so it's constantly pivoting on where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? Because on one side is lack, always feels bad, horrible. It's, we learn all this, the divine that's breathing us never goes there. It doesn't create it, but it's part of our 3D environment. But we have a choice to be where all the good positive, fun emotions live, like appreciation and gratitude and love and success and abundance and well-being. I mean, that's the field. It's not just an emotion or a word. It's an entire field. It's a way of being. And then when a contrast happens, you process your energy of, ooh, I got off on worry there for a minute. Cause we will, we're all human. The mind scours the universe to try to protect you because your great idea, it wants to tell you and let you know of every possible thing that can come along or every problem or every issue so that you look at it and then don't do it.
Protection.
Right.
Yeah. I have a question. So this is fascinating. And I love those five pieces of like that energy, right? Of the thought, of the feeling, the emotions and all of that. Interesting. I just had a reading done by a colleague who was feeling real off, Christy, just heavy and not happy. And I'm usually like, my glass is always half full. So she and I, we met through a networking thing and she does readings. And I think I'd like to, you know, and she was going to be on my show. So I like to see people before they're on my show. I just ask better questions. I feel I'm more in the moment. Anyway, during the reading, about a year ago or a little less than a year ago, my mom was in the hospital for different things. She's now going to be 93. God bless her. Wow. Anyway, I was the one because it was still COVID. My dad can't hear. So I went and I'm sitting there. Well, of course, what was I feeling? Worry. What do we do? Am I answering everything correctly? What if we have to make decisions? The what if, what if, what if, what if, because she was sitting there in pretty bad shape, right? So the worry was so heavy. Well, an entity attached to me a negative energy that was in that hospital attached to me and was giving me that weight of fear and angst and worry, which isn't usually my vibe. And after the reading, literally, it's what you described when you went to the meditation. And she's like, yeah, like you're in the driver's seat, like make your choices here. It was the same thing. I felt this like all of a sudden I could breathe again, Christy. It's cool when it happens. And I know it happens. It's like, why did it take me almost a year to realize that something had attached to me? I know better,
throes. Let's talk about that, because the council is like screaming in my ears right now, because there's a lot of people. And I used to say this too, and they would always correct me on this, that say an entity, like I was told my sister committed suicide and I was told that an entity had attached to her. Right. And there is no necessary entity. In a sense, the word itself creates a feeling of like, oh, something's out to get me. And yes. So it's like, there's not these things that are just randomly out there in the world of energy that can kind of like a leech, you know, suck on you kind of thing. Yes. And that's the story. And it makes us not trust the universe. It makes us feel protected. And when we do that, we're out of alignment of that protection, of that safety, of that light, because the light, it will help and protect us, guide us for everything. And, but if we're focused on, oh, I got to protect myself. Right. So that's just the council doesn't even like to say that this is a learning place. Like this is a school. It's like, everything is a gift. Here's the game of life. We are an individualized extension of the divine in the physical 3D world, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And with that, there is just pure energy. Like it's just a pure connection. The worry energy, for example, when the consciousness of the human being, think about it like this, bring up Natalie Ludwell for like mind movies, right? Think of your mind or your entire body as the projector. Light is there. Light, it's like you turn on the light is there. You ask, the light is there. The focus, the energy, the attention, the support, whatever you need, the vibration that you want to feel, it's all right there all the time, never goes away. So we turn on the light by calling it in, and this projector is just naturally, it's its natural way of doing it, is going to project, and that we are going to see whatever we project in our outer reality.
I love that.
We hold the movie, right? We're the projector. It's something, it is a universal law. Light is going to come with us and through us. It has to. This is what life is about. It's going to project. That's what we see in our own movie theater, the people that are with us, the things that we struggle with. It's like, I like to think of it as a snow globe. Like we're in our own little snow globe, right? This is the town and those are the people and that's the car. And you know, you have your snow globe. Well, what energy do you have in your snow globe? Because we can choose that energy, but what we put into the mental picture in our minds, what that looks like, that's what gets projected. So everything starts within us. If we're having a mental picture of that relationship that we struggle with, and then that's the movie we continue to play, and now we're like, oh God, that person's coming over, and how do I have to be? And I have to really watch myself. I'm gonna have to go meditate before this, you know, like because if you're dealing with a difficult person.
Yes.
Right? You're rehearsing what's going to project. I had a very, very difficult relationship with my mother-in-law. And I remember one day it was a weekend of one of my son's birthdays. And I was getting a manicure, pedicure, and I'm sitting there getting the pedicure. And I'm like, oh God, it's like mother-in-law is coming over. Right. With the history that I had with some different things, it was like, I could feel the constriction. And in that moment, I had the choice. Am I going to worry? Am I going to fret? Am I going to fear? How am I going to be? I mean, am I going to sit there and think about, oh my God, what do I have to do to try to be perfect in order to make her like me and, you know, and not be the bad guy and blah, blah, blah. I just went, oh, forget it. And I felt as like the chains came off of me.
Sure.
And She came over that day and was more lovely than ever. We had an amazing birthday party for our son. At the end of the night, she was helping me pick up and clean up. That never happened before. She's standing next to me at the sink, you know, helping me. And I looked at her and I go, thank you so much for helping. And then she just embraced me, gave me this huge hug. And my husband's standing there, you know, because we had tension between us. He's standing there going, oh my God, what do we do? And she's hugging me. She's like, get the camera. You know, like, this is a moment. Everybody was just like, what is happening?
I love it. And you controlled it, right? It's your narrative in essence, right? The projector. Exactly. You created this in your world. It's funny because I love that visual. I'm a visual person, Christy. So that projection is so critical. I don't remember where I was. They had a plaque in their office, wherever I was, many, many years ago. And it said that you're on stage. Who do you want in the front row of your life, right? Of your stage. And who do you want, not even in the back of the theater, but outside the theater? Like, be careful who you let into your orbit, because that again, that's part of the projection that we take. But I love what you just said by you shifting your perspective on your mother-in-law surrendering. I'm just going to use that word again, kind of like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm not worrying about this, right? Like, I'm going in, it's my son's birthday. I'm going to have freaking fun. Done.
Right.
And yet she responded to your shift in energy. So
totally.
Because
we were talking about entities, right? So it wasn't like, oh my God, some entity come and suck on my face, you know, and it pulling energy from me. It was literally like I had a choice to let go of, let's define what some people call an entity, a pocket of negative energy.
That's right.
And I just let that chain, I literally like done. Council said, cut the cords, you know, it's like bring the physical body into that. I literally threw off the shackles and is like, I'm done with that energy. I'm over here now. Yeah. That I'm done with that reality. We have time for me to share a story.
We have about two more minutes. So yes. Oh,
okay. I don't know if it's a 2-minute story, but basically I had a realization just recently, months ago, that my mom used to say to me all the time as a kid, whenever I was going for something, cheerleading team or, you know, tennis, you know, track, I hate to run, all that stuff. I would try to get into a team. And whenever I'd leave the house to go try out, she would go, now don't be disappointed if you don't make it, as I was leaving the house, right? And then I would come home and I didn't have very good energy going into it because I don't want to be disappointed. That's what I'm thinking about. When I came back home or when I learned that I didn't make the team, she'd say, well, life is full of disappointments. So I had this moment as an adult just months ago, 51 years of age. And I had this moment where I was resisting feeling, it felt like an entity, you know, I was resisting feeling this particular pocket of energy. And when I did, I went, wait a minute, I'm the one that decides. My life is not full of disappointments. My life is full of surprise and delights.
That's right.
And everything shifted.
It's so funny. And you know, your mom didn't mean any harm, right?
Right.
She was trying to protect her daughter from a disappointment. And it's like by saying it before it happens is the protection. And we've just learned so much more, I think, especially because of the internet and all of the information that's now available to us that literally at our fingertips, right in our phones, we have all of the stuff we can access. We really are out of time, but just one quick tip. Can you share one quick tip for people who are listening saying, oh, I worry. Oh, I have the negative self-talk. Oh, how do I stop doing that? What is one tip that maybe they can apply immediately?
So I would say go to watchyourwords.com because I would say first start watching your words. Words that we say have a worry energy about it. Words that we say have our words start creation. It even said the Bible, in the beginning, there was the word. It is the start of a creation. And so when we are saying words that are based in lack and limitation that come from fear and worry and all that, it pulls our energy down. So I created a program. It's free. Watchyourwords.com. You get a video every day. It's 2 to 3 minutes. They're quick videos. And each video tells you what not to say, why, and what to say instead. So you'll be getting coached. I'll tell you, say this word, see how that feels. And then say this word, see how you get to know yourself through this process. Right. And you become more aware of the words that feel good, so you can say them more, and the words that feel bad, so you can eliminate saying them.
I love it. So everyone, watchyourwords.com. I promise I will put that in the show notes. And one last comment. When my kids were little, they were growing up, Chrissy. Now they're 22 and 25. They're men, right? Mm-hmm. But when they were little, they would come home. If they were unsure of something, they'd say, oh, I can't do that. And so it became a rule. And I actually wrote it on the blackboard in the kitchen. There is no such word as can't. You can choose not to, but we can do anything we put our mind to, or something along that line. And they'd come home and they'd say, can't. And I'd say, oh, pause. You really can't. I mean, if you can't physically do it, or you do it and you don't enjoy it, then you could choose not to do it. But don't tell me you can't, that you've never tried. You don't know if you can or can't. So don't stop yourself before you even jump in and make an attempt. So that word can't is such, has such negative, you know, defeated victim vibe to it.
Yes.
That we want to eliminate that. So I love that. Watchyourwords.com. Everyone, we have to tune in. Is it a daily thing, or?
You just put your name and email in there, and then you get sent an email with the video. You click on the video and you get to watch the video, and it has a little bit of information in there. And at the end of the program, you get a beautiful PDF of words not to say and words to say that you can print it out. You can have it on your computer.
Love it.
Because it makes a huge, huge difference in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Our thoughts become our reality. Our words start the thought process. Yep. And we really have full control. That's what we're talking about today. We are in control. We just don't always realize it. We give up control way too easily, I think, sometimes.
Yes, we give up our power very easily. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Agree. Everybody, I don't know about you, but my sister here, Mrs. Whitman. I had to do that one more time, Christy.
I love it.
I know. Go to ChristyWhitman.com. Ton of information on Christy's website. If you have a specific question, email ChristyW@ChristyWhitman.com. Somebody on her team could get back to you. If you really need to talk to Christy, I'm sure she would respond as well. Go to watchyourwords.com for your little free gift from my wonderful friend here, Christy. Christy, thank you so much for being on. And I just want to mention the books one more time. I'm going to scroll back in my notes. Can you tell us quickly, what are the names of the
books? Yes. So the book that came out last year is The Desire Factor. Yeah. That's amazing. Also, I have Quantum Success and The Art of Having It All, and Taming Your Alpha Bitch was the other one.
I love that one. Are these all on your website as well? All the books
are on the website, all over Amazon, anywhere, Barnes and Noble.
You know, I'm a Jersey girl, Christy. So to me, it's beach time. You know, as soon as we open the shore house, my feet in the sand, a book in my hands, and I'm a happy camper. So I read a lot during the summer, during vacation. So I can't wait to dig into your books. And I'm definitely going to do watchyourwords.com. I'm going to sign up today as soon as we finish up. Thank you so much. You are a joy to hang out with, just a wealth of information. And I just, you know, we have to learn how to get out of our own way, right?
Truly. Thank you, Connie.
Yeah, really a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And you simplify, I think, what we make complicated that we don't need to make complicated. So thank you for the simplification. And that, you know what, we're in the driver's seat, take control. That's really the long and short of it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. No matter what change you're going through, I truly hope that my guests and I provide tips, strategies, stories, ideas, like Christy gave us a wonderful tool today, you know, watchyourword.com. How easy can that be for us to begin that journey of shifting how we think and how we approach our own life? So again, thank you, Christy. And thank you all for joining me on Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Again, I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Truly honored to have you every week join in to hear my guests and I have our conversation. And I really do hope it provides just some ideas and tips. You know how I feel about information. It's a beautiful thing. If we do nothing with it, it's simply that, information. If we do something with it and apply it immediately after listening to the show, that's when the magic starts happening. So again, I hope our Christy and my conversation and Christy's tips just move your needle on change and make it a smidge smoother and easier on you. Thanks again. And I hope I see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.